All right, the board will come back into session at 11 a.m. And this is item 13, Human Resources Discussion and Possible Action Relative to Presentations by the following entities regarding the County of Amador 457B Plan, Great West Financial, The Hartford, and ING. And I guess we'll take them in that order, but either Diane or Chuck, you might want to give a brief intro to this for the board members.
Mr. Chairman, this is the result of us taking a look at what's being offered to the employees as far as a 457 plan. The thinking here was that there would be savings, lower rates offered to the employees if a sole provider were contracted for the top of the 457 plans. So what you've got here is the two providers that are currently offering plans to the employees, plus ING, who is also making a proposal here. The options you've got are to grant either one of these three the sole opportunity to provide 457 plan services, or you can do nothing, which would be a fourth option, which is to leave the status quo, which would leave us with Great West and Hartford. It is up to the board who they choose and what they choose to do. There are a number of different ways of looking at things with regard to this. The concerns that have been presented to me by various groups are that they appreciate the reduction in rates. There is concern that the level of service will decline, and which is, of course, a give and take, and that would be the discretion of the board there. So that's the question before you today, and I'm sure that all three of these groups are more than capable of answering any questions you have.
Our board clerk will collect $20 from Supervisor Boitano. So go in the fund.
No problem.
Supervisor Novelli.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chuck, have we had anything back from our employees saying which ones they'd prefer?
I haven't seen anything formally. I'm sure that there will be somebody speak to that question. I think we can have the local president come up with SEIU if you'd like.
Oh, no. Also, we have Kim Burke on the health committee here, too. So, okay. Thank you.
If it wasn't for this being such a serious issue, I would find the level of service concerns being almost comical at this point. But that's up to the employees to decide what level of service they want. So can you talk about the charges that were being applied currently and the changes? And we'll get into just to briefly cover the changes proposed.
And you want to address that? Do you have anything that summarizes the various proposals quickly? I'd say they can. The current fees that are being charged, I would be going by memory, which is always a bad thing to do on my part.
I'm not going to put you on the spot then, but suffice it to say that the charges, whether have been in place.
Well,
I'll try to be somewhat tempered on this, but the charges that have been in place, whether because the employees did not have enough oversight or whether they were happy with the service that was being given, the charges were somewhat above the industry standard.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, 1.25 is what I understand was what I'm recalling was being charged. All of these proposals do offer to reduce that amount.
And ING came in with the original proposal, the buyout, and you're going to have to help me with this.
Okay.
The buyout, as I understand it, for Great West, wasn't it around $200,000?
I think it was $150,000. Is that right?
$150,000.
So, the Great West buyout. The issue with the buyout is in order to the contract with Great West says that if the employee takes the money or the county requires that the employee take the funds and remove them from Great West. There is a fee for that service.
Surrender charge,
yes. And that all three of these proposals anticipate those costs, because for Great West to take the funds that are currently with the Hartford and transfer them back to Great West, they would also experience surrender charges. So, and ING would experience the charges from the other two as well. So, but those charges are all contemplated in these proposals and addressed.
Yep. So I'd like each of the people making presentations to address the surrender charges and all the costs involved with this, with any of the program options. So, with that, any other questions before we proceed?
No.
We're going to take these right in order like they are on the agenda. So, Great West Financial, I think we have your names, but if you could sign in for the record and state your name, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is John Bourne, Vice President of Government Markets with Great West, and we're pleased to be here today to offer you our enhanced pricing proposal. We appreciate the time on the agenda. We value our 22-year relationship with the Amador County, and we hope after today you'll take the next step, just as one in four counties in California have, in choosing Great West as their provider. I just want to make sure everyone has gotten our proposal handout. If not, we have extra copies.
I've got it.
So on page 2, you'll see the rest of our presentation team. We have Darren Wagerman, our local representative, as well as Brian Beats, our Northern California Client Relationship Director, with us today. Page 3 basically sums up why we think Great West is your best strategic partnership. Number one is we offer stability and scale, which is unprecedented in the government markets. We are the government market leader. Number two is a results-driven participant experience, where we begin with the end goal in mind and make sure participants are on track to meet that goal. And number three is our leadership and innovation. As a market leader, we're able to have the resources and reinvest in our business, which included $46 million last year back into our record-keeping systems.
I'm going to leave this open to the board, too, to ask questions during any one of the presentations, because they are quite lengthy, so I'd rather ask the question and not forget it.
Sure, and we would welcome those. Thank you. On page 4, you can see our stability and scale. We are the number 4 record keeper across all markets by terms of participants, and we're actually poised to overtake the number 3 spot at the end of this year. We serve more than 27,000 plans, 4.7 million participants, and we record keep just under $180 billion in assets. Page 5, you can see our commitment to the government markets. We are the undisputed government markets leader, not only in terms of assets under management in public sector, but in the terms of participants in the public sector. Nearly one out of every 4 government employees has a Great West 457 plan. We're also number 1 in states. We manage 19 states' record-keeping plans, as well as the government of Guam. Here in California, we provide record-keeping plans to some of the largest plans, including the city of Los Angeles, San Francisco, L.A. County, as well as several counties in the area. On page 6, you can see our strength and stability. And after the last crisis, this has really never been more important to employees. We just faced a complete crisis of confidence that went all the way from Wall Street to Main Street, and Great West stood alone among all North American insurance companies as the only company to not get downgraded during that financial crisis. In fact, all of our insurance ratings are either the highest or the second highest among all the rating agencies. That's something we're pretty proud of. We're going to be here today and in the future for your employees. Page 7 shows our local support team. Everything revolves around Amador County. I will serve as the executive level contact. Brian Beats will serve as the plan sponsor level contact. And Darren Wagerman will provide the day-to-day service for your employees. And I'll actually turn it over to Darren. We'll talk about what he does on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you, John.
If you'd like to turn to page 8, this talks a little bit about the four pillars of participant engagement. It's a philosophy around which we build our service with your employees. And I've been doing this with Emerald County for approximately 13 years, so I like to think I have a bit of insight into how best to serve them that is a little bit unmatched among my peers here today. Now, it starts with participation. Ideally, if we were selected as a sole provider, my goal would be to engage employees from day one. Sorry, I'm not terribly good with mics sometimes. My goal would be to engage employees from day one, from the day they get hired, to ensure that they take that very first paycheck and start participation, that they increase their contributions to the plan as time goes on, to ensure that it keeps pace with promotions and raises. We want to make sure they're diversified in their investment selection. And I think our plan here does a very good job of giving employees many choices in terms of the investment options, and we would work with the county ongoing to continue to provide best-in-class investment options. And lastly, we'd want to provide retirement security for them so that the money that they have lasts for a retirement career, which may be as long as their actual working career was. Given the greater longevities among participants, it's entirely possible employees could be retired for 30 years or more. We want to ensure that the money they've worked hard to save lasts as long as they do.
Just a question, sir.
Absolutely.
Is part of your oversight in your job also makes sure you're giving them the best fiduciary service possible as far as pricing and charges that you charge them?
That is actually more directed to Brian Beetz and John Bourne. It's more of a plan level. But, yes, certainly we would work with the plan sponsor to ensure that they're getting the best deal possible for employees.
Because there is there's not really industry standard, but there is probably what's accepted, I guess, on Wall Street. Anything can be accepted.
Unfortunately, that would be true. Certainly not the case with Great West, but yes, I have to say that the industry bar in general is somewhat low on Wall Street. We do our best to exceed or put that in the way in the far rear view.
Sometimes if you take the care you take of a customer, generally happy customers don't leave too often, but that goes back to how people perceive how they're being treated.
Absolutely.
Or agencies.
Well, no, I absolutely agree with you. I think that it really is that in-person service is key to engaging participants. And we can't serve them if they're not with us, ultimately. So it's got to begin with earning their loyalty and trust. And I really strive to do that every time I meet with a participant.
Thank you.
John Bourne, Great West. I'll just add in, as going from a vendor environment where you have multiple vendors to actually having a partner where you choose one provider, you get economies of scale, and as well as the pricing will go down as well.
Yeah, it might be best to defer some of those questions on pricing just slightly later on in the presentation. We are planning to cover that.
Sure.
Now, on page 9, one of the things you're going to see is one of the tools we use for personal engagement. It's just a small sample of the many options available on the website. This is a tool basically designed to get participants focused not so much on what the number is in their balance, but how the balance translates into retirement income. Again, the thing that really matters, what's going to support them in those retirement years. Now, it's come to my attention, this is a relatively new tool. It's only been around for about 6 to 7 months. But in that time, we've estimated that approximately 22% of participants have engaged with this tool, which means they've looked at it online and seen that number and explored the options and played with the parameters and the sliders to adjust those figures. More importantly, of those 22%, 51% have gone on to actually increase their contributions as a result of that engagement. It's proof that our system works, that getting participants to focus on those four pillars gets them from point A, which is working, to point B, which is retirement. On page 10, as I mentioned, this is just one of many tools on our website. I was actually part of the beta and design team for our website redesign last year, so I actually have a fairly good familiarity with how the website was redesigned. The paradigm, if you will, is designed to be functioning a bit like a smartphone. There's simple, easy-to-use icons. There's reporting packages. Participants can generate statements. They can do planning and forecasting. There's information about all the available investment options. In short, there's so much information here, I think that some participants frequently get a little bit overwhelmed. We've done our best to simplify that, to give them as much or as little access as they like. And that includes options like our managed account service, where essentially they can opt into having us manage their funds for them. Now, the other side of the web experience is the Plan Service Center, and we talk about this a little bit on page 11. Now, the Plan Service Center is something that most participants won't ever see. It's the back-end support for the county's administrative staff. Now, I would be engaging on going with doing a bit of training, as would Brian Beetz, and our job basically to allow the county to explore the full range of tools that are on there. Essentially, the entirety of your plan with Great West can be run from this Plan Service Center.
They can do everything from engaging with the outsourcing services that we provide, and Brian will talk about that in a few minutes. Running reports. There's a variety of reports, and more than 50 all totaled. And it will tell you everything you would like to know about participants, everything from contribution statistics, investment diversification, distribution history, loans if the county should choose to add that. There's a wide variety of options there. Our job will be to basically ensure the county's getting the most bang from those tools and resources that are available ongoing. And that would be a key part of my job, would be to work directly with staff to make sure that they're making the most of those resources. And with that, I'm going to turn you over to page 12, and Brian Beetz is going to talk to you a little bit about outsourcing.
Thank you, Darren. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm going to rattle through these slides pretty quickly for you, but do stop me if you have questions. One of the things that has not been taken advantage of up here at Amador County is outsourcing services. Your staff here has a lot of responsibilities in managing a deferred compensation program. And one of the things that Great West can bring to bear is to take some of those things off of the county admin staff's plate and put it on our plate. If you look at page 12 here, you can see a lot of different things. Deferral record keeping simply means participants can go right to our customer service lines or the website, make the changes. We feed that to staff, and they make the changes on the next monthly payroll. They don't have to process forms every time a person wants to increase, decrease, start, stop their contribution. You currently do your own beneficiary record keeping. If someone dies, we look to the county for the beneficiary record. We are more than happy to take over the beneficiary record keeping. By doing this, we take on the responsibility of managing those records electronically. We put the beneficiary elections right on participant statements so they can see it. It's a good brain jog if they get married, if they get divorced, if they have children. They remember, oh gosh, I need to change that beneficiary record. They can go to customer service or online and do that directly. We also do the quadro administration for divorce cases, hardship administration. We can take that process over completely. If you decide to add loans, we can do that. In that file that Darren talked about that staff has access to, if you feed us termination dates, we can do distribution processing. Staff doesn't even have to sign off on distributions. We know that a person is gone from the county by a distribution date, and we can process distributions automatically as well. So we can take a tremendous amount of workload directly off of county staff. On page 13, you'll see our transition excellence. We have transitioned more plans into Great West than any other provider in the government markets. This is just a small sample. You can see in the last 4 years, we've transitioned almost $16 billion in assets, over 600,000 participants. In all markets, which would include 401k and 403b in government, we've transitioned 230 from Hartford and Mass Mutual. So we have a tremendous amount of experience in doing that, and we would guarantee the transition experience for the County of Amador. If you turn to page 14, this is our cost proposal. As we discussed earlier, there is a CDSC in the existing contract. This contract goes back 22 years. I was the one that prepared the contract, brought it to John Kirkpatrick 22 years ago, and it's pretty much sad as it is up to this point. But what we are agreeing to do as a consolidation is to go to a zero charge for all assets on the variable side, no surrender charge. That would be removed immediately upon contract execution, and we would go with a five-year contract. Within that contract, we have performance guarantees. If for any reason we did not perform on the items in the contract, the county would have the ability to break the contract without a surrender charge during that five-year period. So we think this is very important that it gives the county an out if we don't perform as expected and as agreed upon in the services agreement. The assumptions we're making, there's roughly a $3 million transfer from Mass Mutual. Question?
Who determines that Great West is not doing their job? Who would determine that?
There would be specific performance guarantees in the contract. If staff or council wants to add additional ones, what we would do and what we recommend, and this is not done currently, we would recommend a quarterly that you form a committee for the deferred comp. Usually it's in HR or finance. Oftentimes the treasurer tax collector sits on that committee, and there would be performance guarantees, and they would be monitored quarterly. In a typical contract, and all of our contracts have these performance guarantees, contemporary contracts have them all, what would happen is that if something is missing, something is not happening, there's usually a 30 to 60-day cure period. If we don't cure it within that time period, the county has the ability to walk away from us free of charge. And we have kind of standard performance guarantees, but if there's some additional ones, we're happy to talk to you about those. Yes, sir.
Have you run the numbers to see how much the savings would be on your new proposal compared to...
That is actually in here a little further in. If you bear with me a few more moments, okay. I'll get to that for you. The assumptions we're making, roughly $3 million would come over from Mass Mutual Hartford. We think it's a few hundred participants. I put 500 in the slide, but it's less than that. The on-site service would typically be done by Darren. He would be here a minimum of 12 days a year. If staff here believes you need more service than that, we'll increase that number. We just know from experience that about a day a month for a plan your size is about the right amount of service. I, as a client relationship director, I'm committing to come up at no less often than quarterly to meet with staff, to conduct a quarterly committee meeting, just to make sure that the plan is staying on track. We're offering you our full a range of mutual funds as well as the existing options, and we would actually do a fund review on a quarterly basis and monitor the funds. Once a year, if funds are failing or not meeting objectives, they will be replaced. And that's a piece of the puzzle that I actually run for county staff at the quarterly committee meetings. If you'll turn to page 15, just some other enhancements to the process. Again, we talked a little bit about the hardships, the beneficiaries, the deferral processing, signatureless forms. Here again, we talk about Darren's 12 days a year, more if needed. We certainly would commit to be up here any amount of time during the transition. Typically, a plan of your size, we do a full week of transition meetings and individual meetings so that everyone in the plan, and those hopefully that aren't in the plan that are curious about the plan, would have the opportunity to come to both a group meeting and have an individual consultation. So it's kind of a whatever it takes scenario there on a transition. On page 16, we would map the Hartford assets. We would work with staff. Typically, you go a like-to-like. If they have a large cap value, we map it to a large cap value. We're very experienced in that process. We have a complete staff in our home office in Denver, Colorado, that does nothing but transitions. That was the earlier slide, the hundreds of millions of dollars and 600,000 participants we've transitioned. There would be a countywide communication we would prepare. It would be mailed out to all participants. In fact, we can make it available to all county employees. And we'd make a commitment, again, to 12 days a year or more if needed on an ongoing basis after the transition is completed. There's been some questions about adding Roth to the plan. Happy to do that. You don't currently have a Roth option. It was made available under 457 2 years ago, so it's something you could add. Again, Quadro administration, if you want to add loans to your plan, we'll set that up for your plan. If you turn to page 17, we can make a self-directed brokerage option available through TD Ameritrade. Typically about 1% of the employees use it. If you had more than 5 or 10 people after 3 years of adding it use it, I would be shocked, but we can certainly make that available for those that want a little bit more variety than the core program allows. We provide unlimited participant access to the website, doing transitions and transfers. There's no cost or charge to do that. And again, a zero administrative fee. The question from a supervisor to my right here, he asked about the administrative fee. We believe that this fee reduction, going from our current fee down to zero, just on the Great West block of business, would save participants about $45,000 a year. Addition, the piece from Mass Mutual and their fees, that would be another 15. So the savings to participants in their account balances would be roughly $60,000 a year based on current balances between the Mass Mutual and the Great West options.
Well, what's your M&E? Is that management and...
mortality and expense fee is what it is. It's called a mortality and expense fee, and that's going down to zero. So that disappears, and so the mutual funds with any provider are going to have their expense fees, but this extra fee that was on top that your CAO talked about, that goes away completely. So savings would be about $60,000. In addition, we were informed that the surrender charge on the Mass Mutual Hartford block is another $36,000. We would internally absorb that as well. So we believe, really, that the Great West is probably, if you turn to the last page, page 18, is the best strategic partner. It's the least amount of disruption for participants because there's only a few hundred coming over for Hartford. The rest are already in Great West. We have the largest amount of experience in doing transitions on plans. We're fully committed to doing that. It's really a chance for the county to shine in this process and really reinvigorate the program, because what we find when we do a transition, we see a lot of people that have never been in the program get excited and join the program as well. We're the government market leader, as John described. We're the largest both in assets and participants. We would look at this as a partnership with Amador County, again, committing to do a quarterly meeting with staff and keep the plan abreast of what's going on in the marketplace. Darren would do the on-site service and support. We believe that that fee is competitive and it's flexible. And, again, we can do all this because of our scale and stability. We are the largest. We've been in the government market since inception back in 1976. And so we think we can do the best possible job for Amador County.
You said flexible fee. What do you mean by flexible?
Well, let's say that your plan is about $8 million. Once you get up a little higher than that, we can actually have more revenue than we need to operate the plan, and we can provide revenue sharing back to the county. Once it gets up to, say, $20, $25 million, you're not at that point yet, but eventually, you know, we could go to really, you know, some of that fee we get from the fund companies, we could return some of that for plan-related expenses, offset staff expenses and things like that. Sure.
Yeah, I don't think my original question, I don't think you quite answered it. My question was, this proposal you're putting forth now, how much of a savings is it going to basically, have you done the numbers, what it will save?
$60,000 a year.
That's all the cost from your previous plan?
That's the savings that participants, if they went from the existing plan with Hartford and Great West to the plan we're proposing, fees would drop $60,000 a year to plan participants.
Is that also fund expenses too?
Pardon me?
Would that include fund expenses?
Yes. The whole piece drops $60,000 in expenses. That's how much more would show up in participant statements annually, $60,000.
Okay. The surrender fees go away, but there would be a five-year contract term.
There'd be a five-year contract, but again, we would put performance guarantees in there. We have standard guarantees. We get, like I said, we can add more if you want. If we failed to perform on those guarantees, you would have the ability to walk away within the five-year contract.
Probably easier to break a marriage contract than that. But.
Well, you know, typically we don't have problems, especially if we have a quarterly committee meeting, we're tracking, we're following it. Things will fall through the cracks once in a while with any plan. I don't care which plan it is, whether it's a city and county of San Francisco with $2 billion or an Amador County with $8 million. But typically what you have then is you've got a 30 or 60-day cure period. Something gets out of line, you go back, you fix it, you go forward, and it's working properly. And it's in your best interest and our best interest to have something like that where there's a cure period. If it's not broken or it's slightly broken and can be fixed quickly, things happen. You know, there are oopses every once in a while, but not very often. And by putting those in, this way we're monitoring it on a quarterly basis. It never runs on and doesn't get cured.
Hold off on public comment until we get to the end so we can hear all the presentations. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for your time.
Now, if we could have the Hartford representatives. Good morning.
Thank you.
Morning. Can you hear me okay? My name is Danelle Dix, and I'm the financial advisor with Edward Jones in the Martell office. I have been with Edward Jones for just about 10 years. Prior to that, I was the CFO at Sutter Amador Hospital, originally hired by the county in 1989 as the controller of Amador County Hospital. So I've been around in the community for many, many years, grew up here, have been very active here. Worked with the county employees on the 457s for the last 8 years through the Hartford plan as my vendor of choice. Actually, I inherited it. Hartford first came to the county in, I think it was 1998, to join as the second vendor, in addition to Great West. So I inherited the plan from Dan Young in 2005. What I'd like to do today is have my representative from Hartford give you a few words. But I think to start with, really to encapsulate it, I think there's three reasons why Hartford should be the vendor of choice. First of all, I am a CFP, a certified financial planner, as well as a CPA. I am the only CFP in the room, and I am one of two in Amador County. That provides me the ability to give service beyond what any advisor can give to your employees, and I have proven that really over the last 8 years by giving them service that has provided high satisfaction among the employees, and I'll get to that a little later. But I think that gives me an advantage. Also, I'm a very local person. Having my office within 2 miles of all the county facilities, I'm very accessible and have been for the last 8 years. Secondly, I think the relationship that we've developed with the county has been very easy. I think that the administrative staff calls on me and my office person before anybody else with any deferred comp questions. We have become kind of the authority on it. Whether it's a Great West question or a general question, I'm the one that they've turned to over the years. And I think the third thing that I think that you need to consider as very important is the fiduciary responsibility that the county does have over the 457s. We've talked to the county about this a couple times in the past, and I know there's some interest in having an oversight committee and maybe getting more actively involved in satisfying those fiduciary responsibilities. Hartford gives us a very good solution to that problem that my cohort is going to get into as well. So I would like to introduce Mr. Bob Gleason, who is the Senior Relationship Manager for Hartford, which has now transitioned to MassMutual at the beginning of the year, and he's going to give you some summary about the proposal that you have in front of you, and then I'll wrap it up, if that's okay. Answer questions anytime.
Thank you. Or you might want to take a taller microphone.
Sure. Good morning, and thank you very much for allowing us to present to you today. Again, my name is Bob Gleason, Senior Relationship Manager with MassMutual. I've been in the industry now for about 18 years. Most of that was with the Hartford. Up until January of 2013, your plan was with the Hartford. On January 1st, the Hartford had completed its sale of its retirement plans business to MassMutual. So your plan, along with all of our other plans, transitioned from the Hartford to MassMutual. And about 1,200 of us employees that were former Hartford Retirement Services employees are now employed through MassMutual Retirement Services. So all of that expertise and experience that was with the Hartford is now transitioned over to MassMutual, and your plan continues to operate as usual. Things have been running very smoothly since that transition. We haven't there have been no reported issues that have come up as a result of the transition. I'm very pleased to say it's business as usual. So going forward, we will be known and recognized as MassMutual. In fact, your next quarterly statements, if you're in our plan, participants will be seeing the MassMutual branding and logo on participant statements. So throughout the course of this year, you'll see the change in branding occur. You've got two handouts that we provided to you. One was a green folder. The other was our actual proposal. And I thought what I would do is start off with one of the items in the green folder. It's just a fact sheet that you can take a look at for your reference. I just wanted to point out a little bit about MassMutual, a few facts. On the left-hand side are financial strength ratings, which are very important. Whatever company that you do ultimately contract with, you want to make sure that it is a financially sound organization. MassMutual has been in business now for over 160 years. U.S.-based company. Of the three providers, we're the only U.S.-based company. And you can see our financial ratings, AA plus from Standard & Poor's, AA plus from Fitch, the highest or second highest ratings of all the major rating agencies. So that piece, again, just for your reference, a little bit about MassMutual.
If you look at the proposals, the booklets that we had passed out, I just wanted to kind of go through this. I won't go through every page, just from a time preservation standpoint. But if you open up to page 14 and 15, it just kind of outlines the team that's here supporting Donnell. I'm a part of that team. As a relationship manager, I would ultimately be the person at MassMutual who's accountable for the success of your plan. I'll be the person that attends committee meetings, which we highly suggest that you do have a formalized committee meeting process put in place. Typically, a county would meet on a quarterly basis, and if you chose to follow that sort of a format or whatever frequency you chose to follow, I would be the representative from MassMutual attending those meetings along with Donnell. But pages 14 and 15 kind of outline, you know, the full team that supports Donnell in addition to me. We would have an implementation team or a transition team that would be accountable for moving the assets from Great West over to MassMutual. There would be a transition manager assigned, and Donnell and I would be working in the field to educate employees. There's a client service team in our home office that does all the operational issues, so that will continue. Along with that, Donnell is here locally, and in addition to herself, she also has a staff member at her local office right here in Amador County. And, of course, we have a compliance team. Right now, Amador County is operating its plan document using our specimen plan document. And whenever there are changes to that document, legal changes that come up, we will send out an amendment for you to easily implement into that document. So we do provide currently a good level of compliance assistance and support, and that will continue with MassMutual. Moving ahead to pages 22 and 23, what you see here is just some snapshots or some screenshots of our participant website, fully transaction capable, very easy to utilize and navigate through. We've gotten many compliments on our website and the ease of use that it brings, and graphically you can just see some of those screenshots. And again, throughout the remainder of 2013, the branding will change on the website as well, from the Hartford to the MassMutual logo and branding. Moving ahead to page 27, one of the key features of any plan are your investment options. Right now you have a good solid menu of investment options that are available, and those funds have gone through screens through our own internal due diligence process. I do want to make it clear with our proposal, there are no proprietary fund requirements, so you're not required to retain. Right now you have some Hartford funds in your lineup. You don't have to retain those. We do have MassMutual branded funds as well. You're under no obligation to utilize those either. One of the unique services I think that we bring to the table is a co-fiduciary level of support that we offer through a partnership with Mesereau Financial, third-party company based out of Chicago. If you turn to page 31 in the proposals, there's some detail there about Mesereau. Essentially, what they offer is a co-fiduciary service relative to the investment options in your plan. So they have their own due diligence process that they go through. They are experts in terms of fund analysis. So if you elect this optional service, Mesereau will come up with a suggested fund lineup. If you want to make some changes to the lineup, you can do so, and do so under the guidance of Mesereau. If you were to utilize this service, they're taking co-fiduciary responsibility for your fund lineup. What that means is if there's ever a problem with a fund, if a participant ever comes back to the county and says, hey, I lost money in this fund, what due diligence did you go through to make sure this was an appropriate investment for your retirement plan? You can fall back on the Mesereau service, a third-party company not affiliated with your provider, that went through a series of screens. They have a process in place that says this fund is appropriate for a retirement plan. And if you're ever sued, if there's ever an issue on it, Mesereau will defend that in court. So they are taking on that role. This is a part of our proposal. So this service, it's optional, but it is already a part of the proposal. There's no additional cost or expense for it for Amador County.
So what you're saying, maybe I'm trying to get a little bit of clarification. So you're saying if a fund goes defunct, that Mesro will make it whole?
No, it's not covering actual losses to participants. What it's covering is the fiduciary. Yes. So any fund, there's always that slight potential that a fund is going to, I mean, it's very slight that a fund would completely go defunct. Of course, all of them are going to go up and down with the market where the values change. But if you ever go through a period, as an example, where a fund loses a significant amount of value, say in a year it loses 30-40% of its value, if a participant is questioning the county and coming back saying, why was this fund even offered, you have a third-party source that had a process in place that said this fund, in our opinion, in our expert opinion, was appropriate for your plan. And they will defend the county in court if they have to, if it goes to that level. So it's just kind of an extra layer of fiduciary support for you, the plan sponsor.
I just wonder about Wall Street sometimes. You see price-to-earning ratios of what, 30, 40 to 1, 50 to 1, 100 to 1, and that's a good investment?
Right. No, that is a concern. And, of course, with all of the funds that are in your lineup, that would be in your lineup, there's a diversification inside each fund. Each fund is investing in many different companies. So if one or two companies really falter or fail, the whole investment doesn't collapse. It's just going to lose that proportionate amount.
This probably wouldn't be too favorable with a company like Solyndra then, right?
Probably not. Yeah, you probably want to avoid a company like that. That's right. So fiduciary protection, I think, very much a benefit to the county and something to consider. As you move forward in the proposal, a couple of other things to highlight. If you move forward to page 36, we talk about an online investment guidance tool that participants have to utilize. Of course, Danelle is here. And that's really the preferred method from our perspective for participants to get investment guidance and advice is through the local on-site person, which is Danelle. But every county, you're going to have employees that are going to prefer to log into their account at midnight and kind of do it on their own. And for those that prefer that method, there is an avenue through our website. We partner also with Morningstar, and employees can get investment guidance through that link, and that's included in our proposal as well. Page 38 is a brief description of one of the investment options in your program that we're offering. We are putting our general account as one of the investment options in your program. It is currently there. About 10% of the assets are currently invested in the general account, and this is a very valuable account because it pays a rate of interest. It's the only investment option in the program that just pays a rate of interest. Right now it's paying 3%. Under our proposal, that 3% rate will continue. It has a lifetime floor rate of 1%, which means it can never drop below 1%. But again, right now it's crediting 3%, and that is guaranteed or protected against loss by Mass Mutual. So for someone who is retired or nearing retirement and they're looking for a safe place to park some of their money, the general account option is very attractive, and at a rate of 3%, there's a real value there compared to investing in a money market fund or a short-term bond fund, which in today's environment is probably earning, if it's a money market, maybe right at zero. Short-term bond funds may be not much higher than that. So the general account is a part of our proposal. The remainder of this section just kind of outlines the other investment options that are available to you, kind of the menu to select from. We're showing you performance as well as a fee table there.
Sir, I'm sorry, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
When you mentioned that no minimum interest rate in any succeeding year would be based on a methodology, who oversees the methodology for the contract not to drop less than 1%?
Well, the 1% minimum, that's written into the contract, so we are bound by that. Okay. But as far as who sets the what the current rate is, right now it's at 3%. That's internally set. That's determined by Mass Mutual.
Internally set by Mass Mutual by who? By a committee? By the president? By board of directors?
By our pricing or actuarial group. And that's based, of course, upon people are putting deposits into that account, and we are investing it in a bond portfolio. So based on what type of earnings we're generating from that will dictate what level of interest we can pay out. But the benefit to the employee is that right now it's 3%, and it will never go below 1%, which if you look at a bank or something that has a savings product, a bank savings right now is, far below that. So there is a value to having an account that pays a rate of interest.
Thank you.
And then moving ahead, a couple more things I wanted to highlight in the proposal. Page 67 talks about ongoing communication and education program. Of course, that would be led by Donnell here locally. Pages 68 and 69 kind of outline kind of our campaign is in person, in print, and online. Those are the various methods that employees will get their employee education, and you see some snapshots of the different educational pieces that we have available. Donnell is available to do seminars and can certainly utilize our materials to conduct those seminars. Pages 70 and 71 just give you some snapshots of a participant account statement, what they look like, very easy to read. And again, those are mailed out quarterly. And then lastly, before I turn it back over to Donnell, the fees section, starting on page 75, I wanted to cover that. As you know, we are in a position where if we were to take over the Great West assets, we also have to absorb their contingent deferred sales charge, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000. So that had to be built into our pricing assumptions. So what we can do if we had an exclusive arrangement is we would charge 75 basis points. That's in addition to the fund level fees. I also have an enhancement to what's in this proposal, and that's in your green folders. There's a separate letter that you can refer to. And one of the enhancements in terms of the fee is we are committed once total plan assets hit $10 million. It's the third bullet point in that letter. We can reduce that fee from 75 basis points down to 50 basis points, and we will certainly continue to monitor asset levels over time and provide further pricing reductions as we can. The annual maintenance fee that's listed on page 75 of the proposal is also waived for Amador County, and that's the first bullet point in the letter that I provided to you. So there is no annual maintenance fee, and the 75 basis point charge would drop to 50 basis points when assets hit $10 million. Right now, I would estimate assets are probably somewhere around $8 to $8.5 million, so you're not far away from that point today. Moving forward to page 77, the back end charge, or it's called a contingent deferred sales charge. We currently do have one today. It's on a 7-year schedule. Under our proposal, that would continue, and it would continue for a period of 5 years. At the end of 5 years, that CDSC schedule would disappear. And that is also listed in the letter that I provided to you. The second bullet point clarifies that point, that it would be reduced or eliminated, I should say, after 5 years. And, the primary reason for including it for a 5-year period is the fact that we are absorbing up front that $150,000 charge, roughly. Those are dollars out the door that we have to put out. So that 5-year period protects us in the event that the county moved to another provider within that 5-year period.
So that, in your proposal, the contingent deferred sales charge on page 77 or the surrender charge, that is not correct, and it's the letter overrides that?
The letter does override it, yes. We enhanced our offer since these proposals were printed. So with that, I would like to, again, turn it back over to Danelle, who's going to talk a little bit more about her services and what she brings to the table. Thank you.
One thing that's important to clarify is the relationship that I have with Hartford. I think it's been kind of confusing over the years because Darren works for Great West, is Great West, and people think I come in and I am Hartford. I am not Hartford. I work for Edward Jones. Edward Jones partners with different vendors to provide different kind of retirement products, 403Bs, 457s, 401Ks, and the like. And Hartford is one of our preferred vendors that we partner with. So in bringing Hartford into the room, Hartford has the right, basically, to choose representation of a financial advisor. And with the relationship having started with Dan Young and I took it over, that is my role really in continuing on with the county, is that I would be the financial advisor of this, the planner of choice, working with the county employees with the Hartford plan. So I just wanted to clarify that real quick. So the company that I work for is Edward Jones, and Edward Jones became visible really in Amador County back in 1989 when Dan Young opened his office. So we've been here for a very long time, me being here 10 years. It was originally founded in 1922 back in St. Louis, and they started migrating west to across the U.S., and for over 50 years has really brought a unique brand of service to communities just like Amador County. And so they provide some very distinct advantages to our clients that I just kind of wanted to highlight with you. One of the advantages of having an Edward Jones financial advisor really lies in the skills and services and expertise that we are required to have, the degree of licenses that we have as an advisor. In addition to that, I have passed my certified financial planner exam, which is very difficult, but it allows me to look at the entire financial picture for people, whether they're a county employee or just somebody coming into my office for financial advice. We're able to look at retirement planning, estate planning, insurance planning, income tax planning, anything that has to do with their investment needs and financial outlook. My office is local. I am up in Martell, which allows me to come to the county anytime that I'm needed. I come for full days or part days. Or I go to the public health. But more importantly, people come to me. And in my office, we're able to do extensive portfolio reviews. I do retirement calculations. I do retirement planning. I've done PERS buybacks with people. I have helped people by running retirement calculations decide whether or not to take the enhanced county retirement packages as they've come up throughout the last few years. By the way, my resume is in that green folder if you're looking at it. So I think that really behind the scenes, I've probably provided much more service than the county even realized I have been doing, but I just wanted to highlight that. When I do portfolio reviews or enrollments in the 457 process, really my role is to make sure that the 457 is designed to meet their needs as it relates to their other investable assets. I don't just look at it as a silo and tell them the best funds that they should put in their 457. We look at what else the people have, balance it with those kinds of things, and make sure that it's performing up to standard. We also look at what they're doing in terms of, are they going to meet their financial goals? Are they going to be able to retire when they want to retire? And the 457 naturally is a piece of that. And then also the last thing that I do really is to make sure that the 457 meets their personal risk tolerance, because everybody can tolerate a different level of volatility in the market and also has a different timeline. People that come to me that are in their 20s have totally different set of portfolio or set of investments than somebody who's nearing retirement. And I don't think any two of my clients have the identical portfolio. There's no cookie-cutter approach that I use. As a result of all of that, since I took over in June of 05, I have grown the county's Hartford portion of the 457 from about $730,000 in assets to just over $3.3 million today. And that's during the last 8 years, which, as you know, has been a very difficult, volatile market to get people to invest, especially with the furloughs added on with the county. So that's a 450% increase in the Hartford portion of the 457 over the years. In addition, I have many, many resources, not only of Hartford, but of Edward Jones. positions so that I can do employee seminars. I've offered to do them over the years. I would love to do them to increase the participation of the employees, but also increase the exposure and the knowledge about what it actually is. It's a very confusing thing to try to understand. So I've offered it as a group level, but really I've done most of my education with people just on a one-on-one basis, but I think that it's been very much appreciated that I've taken the time to do that with them. But we do have a large professional reputable firm of resources in terms of Edward Jones, and they currently provide services to over 7 million people in two different countries. So I am one part of that. And I did provide in your green folder a little handout that talks about the rewards that and recognition that Edward Jones has gotten over the last 6 of 8 years. We have been ranked by J.D. Power as the highest in investor satisfaction as a firm. So I'm very proud of that, and I do continue on with that as best I can in this county. Really, if you decide to stick with Hartford as your exclusive provider, or however you build Hartford into your future at Amador County, I would remain as the financial advisor serving your employees. I do realize that initially, at least until the product or the assets reach the $10 million mark, we would be about 25 basis points higher than what you're going to hear on the Ng proposal. I did some calculations, and the average account balance right now in the 457 is about $33,000, and that includes Hartford and Great West. It amounts to about $83 a year in terms of expenses for the employees. And while some of your employees will probably tell you they'd much rather have that $83 in their pocket and in their plan, most of the people I work with value what I've done for them over the years and appreciate the services I brought to the table and would very willingly pay $83 for what I have offered them. I think that you really have a choice today. If you're going to choose an individual exclusive provider, you can certainly go with the cheapest. They are a known factor. They've been here for many, many years. You know what you're going to get with them. You can go with the unknown, the throw the dice and hope that you get better service, or you can go with the best. And I truly believe, based on everything I've done for the county over the last 8 years and what I bring to the table, and with Hartford as my partner, that we would be the best choice for you. So I really do encourage you to throw your vote our way, please. And thank you so much for having us come.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. And now ING.
Good morning.
We're still morning.
My name is Mark Bentley. I am owner of B&W Tax Financial Services in Ione. I have with me today Gary Bozine. He's a regional director for ING's government plans. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to give a plan proposal for us today. Now, we're going to start out with Gary giving some of the information on the pricing and where our plan is. I'm going to come back with a little bit about what we can do for employees. Then Gary's going to come back with what we can do for the employer and what our plan is proposed. So with that, Gary.
Say good morning, too. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Board. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Gary Bozine. I'm with ING, and I want to give you a little background. Mark Bentley, who you might know, or many of you do know, has been around for a long time and has been a representative of ING for many years. He also works with the county on some other employee benefits and ran into Diane at probably a benefits fair or a anyway, doing his job, and he mentioned to her about the deferred compensation plan that is here at the county, and talked a little bit about ING. Mark works with another sponsor of ours, and we were doing some fiduciary training for the other sponsor, and he mentioned that to her, that we can, you know, maybe take a look at your plan and help the county look at some of their responsibilities, pricing, and some of the other things. So we put on, it was almost a year ago now, we put on an overview of fiduciary training class. We called it the 457 Academy. And it looks at, you know, the state of the plan legislatively, how it all works, things that the employer is fiduciary responsible for that he or she may or not know. And so it's just something that we do for all of our plan sponsors, but it really piqued the interest of staff. We invited Diane and all our staff, including payroll and so forth. But with that, we kind of took a step back and thought, well, you know, if you wouldn't mind, could maybe show you a proposal, maybe take a look at what you have and show you what ING could do. And we did notice that, you know, when we were walking along that line or taking those steps, that your plan hadn't been looked at in, you know, 20 years or so. And the contracts were the plan document was up to date, but the contracts were very old and haven't been reviewed, and the pricing was not really where a county of $8 million should be. So that's kind of where we started. And so that kind of jumps up into page three, where the objectives of the county. And talking to Diane's staff, you know, overall, we wanted to look at ways to reduce fees for the participant, eliminate withdrawal charges. The county faced withdrawal charges of almost $200,000 that weren't going away for the contracts that were existing. We wanted to offer a strong diversified menu. I mean, employees wanted the best investment options available. Assist the county in fulfilling fiduciary responsibilities going forward. We wanted to make sure that that they were, and staff wanted to make sure that they were not in any, there wasn't going to be any something coming up to bite them or that they weren't aware of fiduciarily. Superior account service, we wanted to make sure that there was still a local service representative. State-of-the-art record-keeping systems were important. I mean, some of the things that were currently going on just haven't been updated, and we wanted to bring you up to not just a cheaper program, but the state-of-the-art program. Ideally, with no disruption of services. And also then looking at prime plan participants, increasing participation, especially with younger employees. A lot of times younger employees just don't think about saving for retirement right away. So we wanted to come up with some initiatives and ways to get younger employees to take advantage of the program offered. Page four, this is the bottom line for us. We wanted to reduce plan expenses. Currently, the expenses on the plan are between 0.75% and 1.25% added on to every mutual fund. So we could reduce that to 0.5% initially. Right before I was dug deep into the current contracts, we thought we can go to zero right away. But we're facing almost $200,000 of withdrawal charges that we wanted to make sure that every employee was whole. It wasn't going to cost the employees anything to make this change. Fund expenses. So total fund expenses our employees see now are somewhere between 0.6 and 1, or would go to 0.6 from down to 0.6 to 1.5 down from over some funds over 3% with the charge and fund expense. ING would reimburse the county almost $200,000 so all participants are made whole. Ongoing fee reductions, our calculations, I think somebody said $60,000 a year. Our calculation was $70,000. So it's depending on the asset base and how much it is at the time, which really is big. I mean, it compounds to over $1 million in a 10-year period of additional expenses that participants would pay. If ING didn't knock on that door, that's what would be happening going forward, I'm sure. Surrender charge would be eliminated from day one. We're the only provider that would eliminate that day one. If we make this transition, if you guys decide to make this transition, 6 months later, you can come and say, we're moving at ING. You don't have to have a contractual reason. You can just say, we're done. We don't have a five-year contract. So our job is, after that transition, to make you want to keep us. And one of the last slides in this, in our book of slides here, says our average relationship with our sponsors is over 20 years, 21, almost 22 years now, I think. And that's, so we're confident that we're not going to have to give that money back in 6 months. We're confident that this is going to be a long-term relationship. No participant annual fee, and then breakpoints. As assets grow, we will reduce those expenses that we have to make up for that $200,000. Significant increase in program features. We'll offer a Roth option. We'll offer a participant loan feature, which 100%, if a participant wants to borrow from their account, 100% of the interest will go back to that participant's account. We charge initial loan setup fee, but all the interest goes back to the participant. We'll offer the self-directed brokerage account, Morningstar Retirement Manager. I'll have a chart in here that explains what that is. Fund menu will be selected by the county. There's no ING fund requirement. We'll work with the county to select the best-of-class mutual funds, and then we will review and change those as necessary going forward. 21st century web and smartphone capabilities will process hardships for the county. So if the employee has an unforeseen emergency, we do the processing. Same thing with domestic relations orders. We do contributions and required minimum distribution monitoring, and we'll do beneficiary record keeping so employees can update their beneficiary online or over the phone so they don't have to go back to the county. Page 6 is a self-directed brokerage account. I think somebody mentioned that it's not really used a lot, but that's true. But it is available to participants. If an employee looks at the fund menu that is chosen by the county, and it doesn't include a fund or two that the employee really wants to invest in, that employee can choose a self-directed brokerage account through TD Ameritrade and invest in any publicly traded mutual fund. And we can even make stocks available. Some plans allow that. Most do not. Most do not want that much rope out there, I guess, for participants. But it is something that is available if you wanted to do that. Over 13,000 mutual funds if you just do the fund option. Morningstar Retirement Manager on page slide 7. Is an investment advisory service that allows participants to have a third party make investment recommendations to them. And what happens is that Morningstar has reviewed the performance, the investments, and the track record of the mutual funds that are in your menu, and specifically tells your participants which ones fit their profile and gives them the best chance to be successful in retirement. Investment choices on page 8. As I said, there's no ING proprietary or ING fund requirements in the plan. So basically every fund that's publicly, that's available, we probably have a relationship with. So when we're putting together a fund menu, we try to make sure that that fund menu covers the different asset classes of mutual funds. So, but they do not have to be, again, ING. That's just pictures of different fund logos or brands that are represented in the program. I wanted to go two more slides, and I'll turn it over to Mark. Connecting with participants. One of the things that, Well, participants relate to us in different ways. Some of them want to be one-on-one with a real person, and that's where Mark would come in. We also, there's others that would rather do things on the web or even via a smartphone type thing. And that we're finding more of that with the younger employees, that's true. But we still want to make available different forms of medium so that employees they want to reach us the way they're most comfortable, whether it's on the phone, internet, in person, or with printed materials. We strive to have each one of those clear, concise, and very understand for employees. Page 10 is a really unique slide, and it's something that I think that we offer that's very unique. It's called My Retirement Outlook. It's a simple program that even non-participants can use to look at how their retirement picture will be when they retire. You can go to ing.com or ingretirementplans.com, either one of those, and try it yourself without even being an ING participant. But what it does is it shows how the employee will look when they reach retirement. It has pre-programmed into it the CalPERS retirement system. So the employee will say, I'm 50 or I'm going to retire in 22 years. I started, in 1998 with the county. I'm a firefighter, or I'm just a miscellaneous employee. I'm 2 at 55, whatever the different CalPERS formula is, and it's going to show them what their retirement will look like at retirement age. And then you'll see in that far
right side, there's the blue, the green, and the yellow. The blue is Social Security, the green is their CalPERS pension, and the yellow is their deferred compensation or any other things that they add into it. They can add savings accounts, IRAs, anything else. If you log in as an ING participant, the yellow part is already, or the your deferred comp is already going to be pre-programmed. But if you want to just try it out on your own, and I recommend that you do so, it's a great program, you can put in all the variables yourself. And you can get an idea. When it turns red, that's a bad thing. That means you're out of retirement income, or you're out of your deferred compensation. And then there's a button you could click to see what does it do to kind of, what do you need to do to fix it? How much do you have to increase to? You have to work a couple more years. There's different ways to do some what-ifs to tell you. And so this is something that an employee can do on their own, or Mark will work with employees to get a picture of how they're going to look at retirement. And that, with that, I'll turn it over to Mark.
Thank you, Gary. One thing I want to hit on that is the paycheck analysis. Having worked with retirement plans for a long time, one of the first questions an employee asks is, okay, if I put $100 into my deferred comp, what's it going to change my take-home pay? Here they have the ability, we have the ability to work with them, and we can program what their current paycheck looks like and what it would look like with a 457 plan of 100, 200, whatever they want to contribute. So they can see what it would change their net take home. And those are usually close within a buck or two. So there's no surprises when they get the next check when they're on. My part of the day in the life of the local representative, individual meetings, I meet with individual clients all the time. My office and I have for over 20 years, and I've been in this county for almost 30 years. I hate to admit that, but I'm almost a local now after 30 years. I do group meetings. The group meetings is how actually we got started with this, finding out more and more about your deferred compensation. As Gary said before, I also already have a relationship doing the Section 125 with the county, and I think my track record with the county and what I've done with in that realm shows my commitment to the county and to the employees of this county. I want to talk a little bit about technology, because technology is big not only in this arena but all the way out there in the public sector. ING is not new to technology. If you look back at 2009, they started getting technology specifically for the 457, for the investor, clear up to this time, 2011 and beyond, which brings us up to 2013. They're very innovative. They spend a lot of money on technology because we know as our society gets grayer and the youth come into the workforce is used to technology. They're used to being able to handle things on the Internet. They're used to using their smartphone to get information that they want. Realizing that, ING has jumped aboard on that. We do have employee online capabilities. An employee can get a statement, see exactly where they are at the close of that business day to see what their account balance is. They can look at the plan highlights. They can manage their accounts. They can change their beneficiaries. They can access forms right there on the website for those that would like to. As we go a little farther on the next slide, it shows a little bit more about what one of our statements would look like, and it makes it easier to access key information. And we're in the information age. People want information now. So an employee can sit at home, log on to their ING account, see exactly where they are, take a look at their current asset allocation, take a look at their fixed rate account, see what their balance is, see what their shortfall is, and all that information is right there. It just is a coming of age with that. To keep that in mind, on the next page it says savings innovations. We know as we get more into this technology that with more people using, and especially a younger workforce coming into it, we know 141 million Americans play interactive visual games. Well, what has ING done? It's put visual games on for their smartphone that they can use that are slanted to investing. So It's a learning process through doing a game with them. It gives them a little bit, an opportunity to play a game, but up here, learn risk and reward, learn risk tolerance, learn asset allocation. We know that only 61 million Americans save for retirement. We'd like to change that. So, the next page shows you got some wild-looking characters here, and these characters are just different characters showing risk, diversification, and goals. These characters have different risk and reward, and this is part of the game that a person can play on either their smartphone or on the internet, and it will teach them in an interactive way what investing is without being so dry as having to read a prospectus or something like that. It is a good way for them to learn what risk and reward comes from. Superior customer service, it's just not me. You know, I'm here. I'm right local. I'm in Ione. That's not too far from Jackson. But we also have a call base open from 5 to 6 every Monday through Friday. Allows them, they can pick up the phone and get a real-life person. The website, 24/7. So we've really covered all the bases. Yes, we will put on seminars. Yes, we will try to show the people the different available assets out there that they can invest in. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Gary about, we understand what we can do for the employee, but how about the employer? The employer is a big part of the system, and I think ING has some ways to make it easier.
Wanted to amplify something Mark said just a second ago about the call center. It's so often nowadays you call up, whether it's for your credit card or the phone company or cable, whatever it is, it takes you forever to get to a real person with the phone trees and everything else. We're open from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m., and unless, you know, you're having a Black Friday or something like that, you're talking to a real person really, really quick. And I'd love to do that with people because it is refreshing and it gets people's problems taken care of right away. Well, as Mark said, simplifying your role, and we're on page 20 just in case you're looking. We want to make the administration for the county simple. I mean, having to deal with deferred comp and a million other benefits. I mean, there's a lot for, you know, staff to do, and everyone is always asked to do more with less. And so we're gonna do what we can to take as many things off of the plate as possible. Fiduciary responsibility assistance. We have a plan sponsor guide, a fund evaluation scorecard, meaning that we review and evaluate the funds that are in your plan. We'll make sure the plan documents are up to date. We support payroll. We can make it real simple for payroll in that we have a feedback file that employees can just make payroll changes on the ING website, and we can send that to the county's payroll system. We have a plan sponsor website that allows for ad hoc reports or account balances, regulatory updates, technology enhancements. We're continuously, and we're putting a lot of money into our technology going forward, and make sure that you're in regulatory compliance with contribution monitoring, RMDs, quadros, regulatory updates, and so forth. Page 21, examine your plan's performance. So we do annual plan review with all of our sponsors that looks at the whole plan from the, you know, where the who's investing in what, how the plan has grown, what tools are being used. And at that time, we also review investments. Each investment is graded and reviewed so that if they're falling out of favor, that we have an action plan to replace investments so that we can keep the menu updated and current. On page 22 gives an example of the investment due diligence in our ING scorecard, which grades funds and has basically 3 pages of grading and evaluation of each fund that's in your menu. We do that quarterly, and so that even though we might bring that to the sponsor once a year, often, more often if they wish, but we generally bring that to sponsors once a year. We are monitoring that quarterly, so if something comes up between meetings, we have the option or the ability to reach out. A regulatory and legislative update, we make sure that our sponsors are updated and aware of any legislative changes. When Roth comes out, we you know, it's 2 years into it, and you know, your employees may have wanted a Roth program. We would have, you know, we have brought that to our sponsors a couple of years ago. Why change? Well, on page 24, well, it's a significant cost savings to employees, and we understand that you know, we have to come up with $200,000. So we can't be as cheap as some, but we're not offering just a cheap bare bones program either. We're offering what we feel is the highest quality of program, the same program that we offer to our largest sponsors. Best-in-class fund menu, local service and assistance, state-of-the-art administration technology, fiduciary responsibility, all these things are reasons that you should consider changing. And we would be committed to keeping your plan current. We're committed to making ongoing enhancements and keeping you aware of enhancements that are available to you and making recommendations going forward. On page 25, a smooth and seamless transition. Anytime changes are made, I mean, there are people that are going to be very upset if you decide to make a change, whatever it is. If you change to one of the current providers, the people that are in the other one are going to be upset. Our commitment would be to make that as smooth and seamless as possible by having a dedicated team and local management to guide through the process. Also, we have transitioned over $12 billion in assets over the last 8 years. We're experienced with your current providers. We'll partner with your payroll and HR and benefits team to make sure that it goes smoothly and they are in tune with all of the throughout the whole process. Minimize disruptions for participants, and really the key is a comprehensive employee communication. The more, you know, as long as the employees understand what's going on, they may not be real happy as it happens, but if they're fully aware of what's going on in the process, if they understand why the changes are made, we'll put on meetings so that all employees have access to meetings. All employees will receive a communication booklet that will explain why this transition happened, why these decisions were made. They can see, well, I'm saving money. Well, I'm missing this person, but I'm saving money. And we've gone through this many, many times. And sometimes people aren't happy right away. But a year later, we don't have those same unhappy people anymore. I put in a sample transition timeline just to kind of see the process. It's not something that can be done overnight. You know, we have this set up over a 12-week period because we want to make sure that everything is perfect. Everybody knows what's going on along, you know, the whole process along the way, and there's no surprises. The county gets to approve every piece of information that gets sent out to employees before it gets sent out. Our success speaks for itself, and this I put the city of San Jose, its program plan in my neighborhood that I worked with on the transition went from two providers to one provider. A lot of people were very upset. They've had that second provider for a long time. In the 18 months after that transition period, we had an increase in participation of over 8%. We had I'm putting it in percentages because there's so many of these numbers, they don't, you know, we had about a 15% increase in the number of new enrollments. Almost 80% of employees had one-on-one meetings in that first 18 months. And there's about 80% of people that were participating increased their amount that they contributed. So really our goal was to re-energize the plan, to bring down prices. I'm sorry, it looks like you have a question.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Who was the other provider with the city of San Jose?
It was ICMA.
And how long have you been with the city of San Jose now?
Well, we've been with the city of San Jose since 1982, I believe. But there were two providers for most of that, for pretty much all of that time. And it was a big step for them to go down to one. But they realized there was an economies of scale issue there, too. I mean, you know, the arguments were, well, it's good to have two because there's competition. Well, it's kind of hard to have competition in a workplace. You've got, you know, two people, two different reps talking to you saying, nope, do me, do me. So the competition really isn't this bidding type of thing that we're going through now.
Thank you.
Your ING team on page 28 just shows, you know, Mark's office, my local office, which is, well, kind of local, is San Jose, and then our customer call center, which, again, they do a phenomenal job. YING, we're experienced. We have an experienced local team providing personalized service. We'll make it seamless and a transition. We're competitive. We're transparent, so employees will know what they're getting. And we'll make creative and engaging communications. And the last couple of slides just kind of talks about how big ING is. We're an experienced leader, creative and engaging competition, holistic approach. We want to incorporate, you know, your pension, Social Security, and deferred comp in one package for your employees to see what they have. Well, we have a flexible product and investment design that we could tailor around your needs. Kind of covered those. A leader in government sponsors. And number one there is we're number one in client retention, average relationship of over 22 years. We're really, really proud of that. Number three provider with over $34 billion in assets. And 32, we're a new U.S. financial services company. That's different. ING Group is a Danish company. We actually spun off from our Danish company, so we're fully U.S. We're still a member of the S&P 500, a Fortune 150 company. We're still one of the largest insurance companies in the world, but now we're U.S.-based. We spun off and did an IPO earlier this year. The stock price is up substantially since we issued our IPO, so apparently the market likes us. So we're really proud of that. Now we're U.S. And then page 33 talks more about the number six insurance company in the world, which is where we are, how many plan sponsors, how many participants, assets, so forth.
All right.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the time that you've given us, and I hope that you really seriously consider ING going forward. Thank you.
Questions?
I did want to hit one thing before we go, is that scorecard. And I think that might help Supervisor Onetto. ING is monitoring the mutual funds inside a retirement plan. If funds change, a portfolio manager might come and go, something might happen with that the investment strategy of that fund. Once that happens, ING has their own scorecard on funds, and they let the plan administrators know, and they said, and it ultimately becomes the plan administrator's call, but we can go, hey, you know, XYZ fund is not performing as we would anticipate it, and we put that on a watch list. We'd like you to take a good look at this. If in the next quarter they haven't resolved their issues and come up, we'd like to move to an ABC fund for that. We always ask the plan sponsor first so they ultimately have the decision, but it lets you know that there's somebody watching over what the investments are, your underlying investments, mutual fund companies inside your plan.
Quick question on the administration fee, 0.50, would that be a five-year in place, or what's your plan for
that? Right, well, we would commit to reducing that to a minimum of, or to a, I guess I should say a maximum, could be less, can't be more, a maximum of 0.4 at the end of 5 years. But the $200,000 that we would be paying up front works out to be 2.5%. So we would have to recoup that, and that's what we figured it would, you know, if assets grow faster, we could do better than that, but if things kind of stay stagnant, we'd a minimum go down to 2.4.
Well, whatever this board decides, I just want to tell you, gentlemen, I appreciate you bringing this forward, because it did point out that the county employees were being charged excessive fees for an extended period of time, so... We'll work through that.
My concern.
Thank you.
No, also, I would agree with that, Supervisor Forster, or Mr. Chairman. Because when I look at this, trust factor is very important. And I would question where the county employees' best financial interests were being looked after as compared to profit maximization. I've done business with a lot of people. Some of it's big, some of it's small, nothing big like this. And it's always very critical to me how somebody treats me. It's one thing if I have a hammer and they're the nail, it's, you know, how do I treat them? What about if I'm the nail and they're the hammer? How do they treat me? That's critical in the business world. And once you cross that threshold, it's very hard to get back. At least with me it is. And now people are paying attention. I think it'd be likewise. Also, I'd be kind of curious to know, I see that Ms. Dix was talking about, she's a certified financial planner. Looks like she got her credentials fairly recently. So congratulations to that. And what are your credentials as far as financial planning?
Good question. I'm a registered representative. That means that I have the licenses to be able to conduct business. I am not a certified financial planner. That it can be good and that can be bad. Investment advice to employees of a large group like what you are can sometimes put the county at risk. And as far as investment advice, that's why we have the third-party administrators that can do that. However, educating them of what a bond is, what a stock is, what are the different funds inside their investment, that is my job. As far as taxation, I think I'm the only one here that has an active tax license. I do 500 some odd returns a year, so I'm pretty versed on state and federal taxations. That is part of our business. So, yes, those are good questions, and that's what I am.
Thank you.
I would say, though, I would give Ms. Dix her props for being a certified financial planner.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very intense course. Yes, it is. Yeah, not to take anything away from her.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to go to public comment now, so anyone that wishes to speak on this, please come on up. State your name for the record. Sign in.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Robert Taylor, president of SCIU local here. I put out a poll to my members. Currently, we have 105 members of SCIU participating in a 487 plan, approximately 60% with Great West and the other 40% with Mass Mutual. I just asked for comments about changes and what they thought. I didn't try to put anything else out there. I just wanted what their opinion was. I received back 24 comments. 5 spoke highly of Great West. 19 spoke highly of Mass Mutual and Edward Jones. The biggest comment was that they've provided personalized and guidance and service for their investments. Personally, I think I'm a relatively intelligent person, but I'm not a financial analyst. I'm cheap, but I let somebody tell me how to. That's how I survive, I guess. I let somebody else tell me how to invest my money. But I just wanted to make that comment that service is one of the things that a lot of us are really looking for. And we feel that Mass Mutual and Edward Jones has provided that service in the past for us. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Robert?
Yes.
When you talk about service, are the employees, in regards to the service, I take it that on these surveys or these people that commented back, they're happy with the service that they have now?
Yes.
And they don't want to change your service.
Correct. And it's the real comment was proactive service. If some, there's changes in the market, you'd get a phone call. Somebody would say, hey, we see this going on. Can we move money around maybe to this because it may be something better for you? In fact, two of the people that responded made comments that if there is not the active guidance, as we'll call it, that they would, you know, the money would be moved, but they would stop participating because they didn't feel that they had the level of expertise to go forward on their own.
And you said you represented, what, 149 employees, was it?
No. There's, I think, 214 of SEIU, but 105 of that participated in 47.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kim.
Jeremy with the shorty. Kim Burke. I work for the auditor's office. I have, since about 9 years, I've done the reconciliations and paid the bills for the deferred comp. I've been involved with Hartford for 9 years. I attended the Ing Academy on the deferred comp, and it seemed like they did a great job. And the one thing that came up was that there was so many questions about where Great West and Hartford had been. Theoretically, with five-year contracts, we could have had four contracts with Great West and at least three with Hartford, and our fees and stuff could have been looked at.
Could have, or maybe possibly even should have been?
Should have been, yeah.
You know, I'd say if you're looking at fiduciary duty, I would think the employees should have maybe sometimes missed it. Maybe they should have looked at it. And also, conversely, whoever is taking care of your 457 plan, I would think should have had looked at it and had a better, better option.
I don't know. It was sort of a question on who was supposed to be looking at it. CAO? Was it Human Resources? The auditor could... produces the payrolls in it, you know, are they supposed to have a part of it?
And well, even the people who are providing you service, I think it's incumbent on them to come out and say, hey, look, this world has changed. We can do you better. And that's where I think I have a real issue.
I am a self-user. I am the one who gets the statement every quarter and then goes in and does my little manipulating. I've never had an appointment. I do have a business degree. I am a certified public accountant, but it seems like my Hartford has worked out pretty good in the last 9 years. It sounds like this is either going to be an all or nothing thing, and my only suggestion is that we had talked in the Ing meeting that perhaps it'd be great if we had some sort of board when we had these quarterly meetings that involved several departments in order for more than one person to be getting this stack of paper saying, here's the progress, or, you know, here's what's right and here's what's wrong. And I would be more than willing to think that the anyone on the Health Advisory Board, including Ted, would be a great way to keep track of this stuff and not have it wait 22 years for somebody to look at the rates and what's going on. Thanks.
I think also, too, that I agree with your statements and Supervisor Olmedo's statements, but I agree also, too, that when I see that my statements are coming back and I'm not making any money, it's on me to call the company and say, hey, what's up with this, folks? I'm not buying this. I want to make money. I don't want to be losing money. You're showing me a negative statement. I'm not sitting here waiting for that. You do something or I'm leaving.
Exactly.
So I think some of that falls on the individual, too. I mean,
but you can't some extent. Tell. Yeah, but you can't tell
right.
The fees that are, you know.
Taken off the top.
What, they come off the top.
Right.
So
right.
You can't tell exactly what the fees are, but you can certainly tell if there's negative. You know, if you put in $750 a month and your account changed to $500, you know, that is exactly, it is up to you. But you'd be surprised. People get those envelopes. You know, what the heck do they do with them? But it is up to me, and that's why I do that. But as the whole, it would be great if we had some people actually being a little more proactive to help the people who are just stashing those envelopes into a file and not opening them up.
There's that and something else. I see not everybody is a seasoned financial guru. And that's a lot of times why they have professionals, quotes, take care of them. I had an old lady one time took me to cleaners. I said, purchase some timber from her. She says, pay me what's fair. I didn't want to do the job. She'd hounded me. Find out I'd give her a price. Just she'll leave me alone. And she said, oh, no, I don't want a price. Just pay me what's fair. So then I had to do the job. I really didn't want to do the job, and I had to pay her what was fair. And she took advantage of me. Not really. She's just a nice old lady. But it put me in a real hard spot. I was busy, didn't want to do the job, and she'd bug me every time I saw her. I thought, I'll just give her a price, and she'll leave me be. Well, she said, no, just pay me what's fair. So.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good comment. Jim. Any other comments? Hold on just a second. We're still taking new public comment. What I don't want to get into with the providers is a tit for tat either, so.
Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Tico Arnisi, and I work in the recorder's office. And I have been a contributor with both funds, Great West and Hartford, for a very long time. I started out with Great West and was very unhappy because before Darren came, there were a lot of changes, and it was very, very disheartening. I'm not very smart in this. I'm smart enough to know that I need to invest in something that's going to do better than what the bank can do for me. And it's a pre-tax dollar that our board was smart enough to pick for the people here, so I started it. And then what I wanted was somebody that was local. I wanted to be able to turn to someone that was here. And before Danelle came, and I'm not necessarily defending Danelle, it was Dan. And after that, it was a short period that there was a transition. I have been extremely happy with the service that I have been provided with MassMutual. My portfolio has exploded. I stopped my contribution with Great West and turned it over to what I'll call Hartford. And with the guidance that I've gotten. Sometimes my questions are crazy questions. I am not a book. I'm not a bean counter. But what I wanted to say to you is a lot of times what you get is what you pay for. And that's a lesson in life. Not necessarily taking what's the cheapest is the best. What I want is if someone's going to make money for me, I'm willing to pay for it. So my level of service, of satisfaction, of growth is an A+. And I just wanted to share that with you. And I think that every one of these companies are good companies. I am not a technology person. When I want to go to an office and sit down with someone, I want them to take care of me. And in closing, I want to share one last thing with you. What I want, and even with my hairdresser, I want them to continue their education. I want them to get smarter for me. I don't want someone just to get my business and then just say, okay, we got another one. I want someone to continue on whatever level it is to take me to a higher level. And in this case, it's my money. And I think that's important to each and every one of us currently. because what's current is going to take us into retirement. Hopefully all of us will have long genes, and our money will take us a long way. So I just wanted to indicate that what my level of satisfaction has been with Hartford Mass Mutual. So that's, I just wanted to share my personal experience, and it's been a long and ongoing one. Darren has been wonderful as well. But right now, that's where I'm at.
Thank you, Tuco.
I want to thank you very much for having this for us, first of all, and then allowing us to make a comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Don't trust your fellow employees. You couldn't leave your purse back there.
No, I was on my way to lunch. I didn't know you guys were still in here. I thought I'd missed my opportunity.
Buying lunch?
Pardon?
Are you buying lunch?
Gee, I don't know. I'll have to check with Danelle or Great West and find out if I can afford to do that. No.
You're cruising for a bruising, Ted.
I know.
Susan Grijalva, planning department, county employee of 35 years. I have money in a Great West 457 as well as in the Hartford. I did not know anything about what was going on with this item today until I received a phone call from Hartford asking me a question about my status with Great West. Doesn't really matter for here or there today, but I had no idea that there was anything going on. So that kind of concerns me a little bit as to whether people do know what's going on, and I'm not sure I even know what's going on other than it sounds what I've been able to glean. I've been on vacation. I got the phone call late, I guess it was Wednesday, because I've been on vacation since Thursday, and I haven't had time to look into what's going on, but what I gleaned is that the county is looking for a single source, vendor, provider, whatever you want to call it, for our 457s. I can see some advantages to that. I can see some reasons maybe why we might not want to do that. I don't know. I don't know what the details are. I wasn't able to stay and listen to the presentations. So I won't really speak to that other than I didn't know anything about this.
You can get a CD of this meeting. It'll be very good listening at bedtime.
Yeah, like EIRs.
Yeah, plan mm-hmm. about an hour and a half. So.
Yeah. So anyway, but I would want to. I do want to say just from my initial reaction to this and just with my experiences, similar to what Tico articulated. I was with Great West in the beginning because they were, I believe, our only option at the time I started putting money into it. Haven't always been really happy with the, I guess you would call, customer service. I don't understand the ins and outs of what they provide or don't provide. My understanding is that they don't give advice. They don't provide that service. Maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't. In the couple of interactions that I've had, I just felt like I was on my own. I just recently started with Hartford. I do like that they are local. I can go into the office. I can call Danelle. I can have a conversation with her, and not specific to her, but I'm just saying a person. And I feel like I am able to talk to her about what my goals are and where I'm at with my plan and get some insight as to where I am or where I might want to go or what my options are. So I do like having a local contact that I can go in and talk to, and I don't feel that I have that with Great West. But again, I just wanted to say I didn't know anything about what was going on, and I still don't really know exactly what it is that we're doing, and I don't know about anything that anybody has said here today because I haven't heard any of it, but I did want to offer those observations on my experience with the two companies that we have had so far. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know that not having multiple opportunities or multiple avenues is a bad thing. I don't know the ramifications of that.
Well, Susan's, the one thing we really looked at was the fee structure, and employees are going to be, long-time employees are going to be investing for 10 to 35 years. And if you started early, that half to 1% amounts to a considerable chunk of change. It's almost like when my mom was in Kit Carson and
she said, I'm comfortable here. This is fine. I don't want to move. And then she was told that, well, it's costing you $1,000 more here than Gold Court. She said, get me out of here. Well, I think that's what some employees would say if they saw how much more money could be in their portfolio if they were charged the right fee structure all along.
Yeah,
That's part of the equation.
I haven't seen anything on that. I don't have any of that information. I might have a different opinion or whatever based on that. But I guess one of the things I might say is maybe there needs to be some time for, the county, I guess, is entitled to do what they want. You can make that decision, I guess, for us as to whether we go with one vendor or not. So, you know, I guess we are relying on you, or we are subject to your decision.
Well, if we stay where we're at right now with multiple providers, we're still going to have those surrender charges, and I don't see them going away, and that makes it even more difficult for companies to be competitive to come in and provide plans that might be better for the employees.
But I just don't know that the employees know what's going on.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't.
Any other public comments? Danielle, did you have any last comments you wanted to make?
I just wanted to clarify for Supervisor Neto, over the last 8 years, I have brought Mr. Gleason in to meet with county officials on at least two occasions, proposing that we look at lowering fees because we knew that the fee structure on the other side was very high. Hartford's was ranging from 0.75 to 0.9, and we knew that by gleaning economies of scale and being an exclusive provider would definitely lower fees. So we did propose that at least twice over the last 8 years.
Proposed lower fees or lower fees for an exclusive contract?
With an exclusive contract. We propose that the county look at that and consider going exclusive so that we could have lower fees for them.
Question in the admin committee was, did it get to the right people, though? All right. Any other public comments? One more comment. Short, very short, please.
Professional credentials, I feel like you ought to have mine as well. I'm a certified retirement counselor. And I've got obviously all my securities license and insurance license for the state of California that I need to have to talk to participants. I'm also licensed in the state of Nevada in the event you should have any employees who may have a residence there as well. Important thing I would sort of point out versus my other committees, I am not a commission-based rep. Part of the reason you're seeing these charges in the other plans is that is how those representatives are paid. More importantly, I do not sell ancillary products such as life insurance, IRAs, et cetera, to your employees. Those products are things that are essentially, by endorsing a representative to sell those to your employees, the county is taking on the liability for vetting those products to your employees and thereby exposing the county to a tremendous amount of fiduciary liability. By going with Great West, you would avoid a great deal of that. Lastly, I do want to emphasize something, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad you brought that up about the fee structure. I did some quick math while we were listening to the presentation, so I was just sort of curious. While a simple difference of perhaps maybe $100 a year in fees may not seem like much, when multiplied over a 30-year working career, it's potentially somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 less in investable assets than an employee would have by going with those higher cost structures. You should consider yourself, do you want to be responsible for those employees not having that money by going with a higher cost alternative? Thank you.
Yeah, Gabe, one, two, three, want to say anything or you're done? Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. At this time, what I'd like to propose is we've been looking at this now for probably a month and a half or more. I'd like to propose, unless the board is ready to make a decision, that we have staff do an apples-to-apples comparison similar to what we had our public works staff do on the Fiddletown-Shenandoah Road with the alternative evaluation comparison, and have staff do an apples-to-apple comparison in that method and bring it back to the board at the next meeting for a decision?
You know, one thing I may possibly do that, like think about it a little bit. One thing I did hear from employees that spoke and their representatives, it seemed like MassMutual seemed to have a better feel among the employees. They were happy with the service that was provided. to them generally. I still have some concerns over, I think, the fee schedules, and I think those could have been better all the way around with everybody. And, you know, and I'm just running through my mind now, okay, we've got two providers. There's surrender charges. What about questions? Is a contract, right, for so many years? What's a contract run? And could you have like another service provider? Would they be willing to come in, and would they have better rates, and maybe people might like their services better? That's something I'm wondering about. Does it have to be all or nothing? I mean, I imagine you probably get better rates if it's all or nothing. But I think there might be some issues with doing that possibly. It sounds like some of the employees, the ones we've heard from, and some of the representatives are pretty happy or happy with some companies than others. And if we took that away from them, I guess that might be an issue. And maybe what is the surrender charge? It looks like it's, what, $150,000 is what it be to Great West to buy out, and $150,000 to Mass Mutual Hartford. What's the term on those contracts? It appears they have a contract of service.
The new contracts? The proposed?
Yeah.
We'd have to...
Oh, not the proposed, the existing. I don't remember seeing that anywhere.
I'm not sure. That's a good question, actually. I'm not sure there is a term.
I don't think any of the current providers would waive that surrender charge unless they became the sole provider.
Well, so do they own that account till that person retires in? I mean, maybe you could fill me in and answer that question.
Sounds like it.
Sir, can you come up to the mic,
come up,
please?
The contracts from Great West, and I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, at Hartford are benefit sensitive. What that means is when a person leaves employment, they can take out that money and do whatever they want with it. It's only if you move the plan as a group while the people are employed. So if it's a participant-directed move, those fees don't apply. This is on a group-level move. And I believe, I know the Great West fees are that way. I'm guessing Hartford is the same way. They're nodding yes.
Okay, so basically if a participant wants to leave your plan voluntarily and go to, Green Tomatoes plan, they can do it free charge.
Yeah, so they retire. They want to roll their money to Fidelity. They can do it.
Not retire.
There's a penalty, right?
No. That's what I'm saying. Once they retire, they leave employment.
Oh, once they retire.
Once they retire, they can do whatever they want with the money.
Question I have is that...
Roll it to an IRA, roll it to another plan if they go to work for Calusa County.
If they're still employed and they want it.
Correct. That's where the charge comes in.
That's where the charge comes in.
So basically, once somebody signs on with put some money in a plan, there's they're locked in until they retire?
No, you can get out, but you got to pay a penalty.
You're locked in, well, you got to pay the penalty.
Yeah, you got to pay the penalty. Right.
The best thing is, don't leave, just join another company.
Supervisor Anetto, to clarify your point, it's typically, at least for Great West, it's 7 years. After 7 years, that would not exist. I can't speak to Hartford's.
Okay, that's the question. So there's a 7 year, once you put a dollar in, that dollar is there for 7 years. And if you remove that dollar, you pay a penalty for changing it to a different kind.
Under your current contract, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, under the Hartford or Mass Mutual's contract, it's a 7 year period as well, and it is benefit sensitive as well. So when someone leaves county employment, they can move it to an IRA or to another employer. That would never be applicable to CDSC under that circumstance. And the contract, the overall contract, is an open-ended contract with the county.
If I answer the question, basically, once somebody puts a dollar in, it's there for 7 years. Or if you move to another company, you pay a penalty.
Does the board concur with bringing this back to the next meeting with an apples-to-apples comparison and looking at it?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think we should have some discussion ourselves at the board level. But it wouldn't hurt to bring it back with an apples-to-apples.
When we come back.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I agree, and we'll have a...
But I'd like to have a confidential discussion.
I don't think
we can do that.
I don't think we can have a confidential discussion on this.
We're negotiating. I don't know. I think this is a public hearing matter. I'm not sure there's any
closed session exception to the public meeting requirement.
Okay. But he's, so what he says, we can have that discussion, we might go to jail.
Okay.
Well, it's something you can check into, but if he doesn't think so, it's not going to happen.
I will look into it, but I don't believe there's an exception that would apply.
It's somewhat of a negotiation.
Chuck, is that direction clear?
Yes, sir.
So we'll come back at that point. Jennifer, you'll make sure Supervisor Plaz gets all the information and has
and a CD.
All the phone numbers and things so he can call people if he has questions, but he can also talk to our CAO and discuss the issues, or our or Diane from HR.
Mr. Chairman, too, maybe if it's possible, maybe Robert could bring back more information from the employees. Maybe if you send out another email, maybe you'll get more feedback from the employees on what they might want to do, so we could have more information on our end once we make that decision.
That's an excellent point, Supervisor. He can poll them, and he sat through this whole thing, so yeah, I think that's a good point.
I want to make a comment to all the employees and the reps. I appreciate your input today. And to the three company representatives, all of you, thank you very much for being here today. We will hopefully make a decision on this at our next meeting. I am not in a huge rush to do this because it's a big issue for our employees and want to make the right decision. So with that, we will go back into closed session. And this portion of the meeting is closed.
Can we have a break first?
No.
He don't allow breaks.
You got two breaks earlier.